for the view of the skip chest.
Well, so
you can stay right here.
I'm just ready for the word of God.
All right, so am I. Good evening. As announced, the scripture is from 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. That's 1 John 2, verses 15 through 17. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever.
Good evening. It's good to be back this evening with the Word of God, undiluted, in the manner in which we should receive it as God intends. Well, tonight we're going to look at ourselves as not being robots. We are not automatons. That is to say, God is in heaven. He sits around his big computer and tells Asgill where to go by his buttons. No. God made us a free moral agent. He gave us the volition. He gave us the decision, the choice. So therefore, tonight, we have all come here with a choice made. The choice that we should what? Worship him in spirit and in truth. However, because we have choice, we tend to have the tendency to love some things and to hate some things. All right, because God loves, we too we love. God hates sin, sometimes we utter our sins. But tonight, the Bible says, as the brother read, we ought not to love the world, neither the things that are in the world. For if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So if I'm so obsessed with all of the things in this world, trying to make sure that I have an advantage with these common things which I do not discount their value, but these are things that will make us to forget our direction, where we are going, because we should be heaven bound. The Bible is saying that the love of the Father is not in us. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. But you know what? The world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But if we all abided and doeth the will of God, then we will abide forever. Amen. What then is this world? Do not love the world. What then is this world? Well, the world is not the physical world, the earth. Because we see in Genesis 1, the Bible tells us that God created the heaven and the earth. That's not the world we're talking about. All right, because we are in the world, he created it for us, even though it's now a cursed world. Because when Adam and Eve sinned, God cursed the earth on which he will till. And also in verse 31, we see again that God saw everything that he has made, and behold, it was very good, and the evening and the morning was the sixth day. That's not the kind of world that we are talking about. And it's not also the human world, which is mankind, because God loves the world. In John 3 and verse 16, the Bible tells us that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And also we see in 1 John 4, 9, and 10, we find out that the human world, all right, mankind is not the world we are talking about. Because if you look at 1 John 4, 9 and 10, the Bible says, in this was manifested the love of God, because that God sent his Son, his only begotten Son, into the world. Herein is love, not that we love God, that he might live, but he loved us more. So you see, God sent his Son for us to die, for him to die on the cross for our sins. So the world, as we are talking about tonight, is not this physical world. But what the world is the world of sin. You know, honestly, my dear brethren, we all suffer with sin. We suffer with sin to the point that it is truly our enemy. So the world is the world of sin, as we see in Ephesians 2, 1 to 2. Ephesians 2, 1 to 2, if you're there, let's just look at what the Bible says about that. Ephesians 2, 1 to 2. Are you there? You see, and we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. Brethren, honestly, if you get up in the morning, you start going on your own pleasant journey, having prayed, you may, 100%, you may come across something that will tend to make you feel, you understand, guilty or lustful or whatever, all right, so that you can sin. The lust that we see in the domain of Satan is also what we call the world. Because in 1 John 5 and verse 19, the Bible says, and we know that we are of God. 1 John 5 and verse 19, I think we read that already, you know. And it says, and you had quickened who were dead in the trespasses. That was, I had the scriptures mixed up. The first one was Ephesians 2, 1 to 2. And this is now what? 1 John 5 and verse 19 that I'm reading now. Or I should have been, and we know that we are of God and the whole world lieth in wickedness. But Ephesians 2, 1 to 2 says, and you he had quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walk according to the princes of the power of the air and the spirit that now walketh in the children of disobedience. We were all disobedient to God. Remember our very first father, Abraham, Adam. God said, we'll talk about that more from tomorrow. God said, this is the garden. Enjoy fellowship with me. Do not do this, but do all, just don't do one. And then we found out that what? Satan came in with sin, and sin came into this world, thereby death. What we have inherited from Adam is that we all are prone to sin. And there are times we yield to the temptations that it come under. You know, honestly, I would love to say, I cannot sin. Whatever temptation comes, I push it away. But there are times you find yourself having yielded already before the consciousness comes in. But, oh, I have done this that I shouldn't do. But we should be very, very careful. As 1 John 1 and verse 7 says, if we confess our sins, it's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Let us not go home and thinking that, well, God has not known, as we said this morning. He knows all of the sacred things. Let us always go down and ask for forgiveness to God. But our main thrust this evening is that we ought not to love the world. All right? A morally evil system under the influence of Satan, opposed to God and Christ's kingdom, is the world we are talking about. Brethren, things of this world under the influence of Satan are the world. For example, the lust of the flesh. You know, I see most people who are not yet Christians, or even immature Christians, or Christians that are not too committed, they have the lust of the flesh still with them. Number one, they have the unbridled desire of the flesh. If you look at the catalog of fleshy sins in Galatians 5, 19 to 21, it lists a lot. But how many of us can say, no, we have nothing to do with that? Brother, can you read those for me, please?
Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, yeah,
you know, after listing all of these, there is a clause that sometimes makes me tremble. And they're saying that this list is not exhaustive, but all such like. So we are now left as Christians to be able to make good decisions as to what to love in this world and what not to love in this world, because it may likely fall into the such like category. You know, many people say, well, I do not lie, I do not commit heresy, I do not do any of this. They forget to know that Paul said, and such like. So such like may embrace a lot. So where are we in this world? We have the tendency to love those things that we have seen. You know, just look at the eye, the way we look at, you know, sometimes you see this, oh, this dress is beautiful. Because what you have, after you have beheld the object, there is something within your being that tells you that, oh, you need to appreciate, you have appreciated this thing, you need this and all of that. And sometimes you go after it, even using vile means. Sometimes we resent people who have things that we don't have, that we want. Sometimes we are just so much in love with this world that we want to do anything. You know, when I came in this morning, I said, what a beautiful building. And then the brother said, yes, we had an old building. He explained to me and all that. I had wanted the church at Priscilla Street to have this. But it's not a loss. You know, if it can be controlled, you know, you may have a genuine concern. Because I cannot say when you wake up in the morning, don't go after your food. No, you can. But make sure that you do not do the extra, as if that this the world is all to it. All right? So the Bible says we ought not to love the world. We should not have this unbridled desire of the flesh, as we have talked about, which we must control. Control. Brethren, we cannot live without having all of these things. As humans, remember we said, we are not automated. We are not remote controlled by God. He gave us a choice. So we need to make decisions. Every little thing we do, we make thousands of decisions every day. That is why Paul, in Romans 7, 14 to 25, let's see how he actually really wrestled with sin. In Romans 7, 14, the Bible says, Paul said, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. It says, verse 15, for that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that I do not. But what I hate, that I do. Do you see what Paul was going through? Paul was saying that I know that I shouldn't do this, but I'm doing this because I'm sold under sin. Verse 16, it says, if then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Because we have entertained, we have not controlled the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. We've not actually controlled them to the point that we can just say, my Paul was saying that, look, all of these things, they come, they fight over me. This one wants to have predominance over my thoughts and all of that. So he says, now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Verse 18, for I know that in me, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil that I would not, that I do. You know, many times, brethren, some people normally say the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. No, but the I want to say that is the spirit that is weak. Because if the spirit is strong enough, it can move the flesh. Because the spirit is the intellect, is the man. The flesh is just something that we can just modify, we can crucify it, and all of that. It is the soul that makes all the decision. It says then, man, now if I do that which I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. He said, I then find a law in that when I want to do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see again another law in my members, warring against the law of my captivity and my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Then in verse 24 and 25, he said, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of death? Then he said, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So with the mind, I myself may serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. So it means that if we do not control these fleshy desires, we always find ourselves in this troubled situation like Paul. Because for each time you want to do good, evil will definitely come. It will. It will come. It will test whether you're strong enough. It will say to you, for example, when I was about to, when we started discussing this trip, the very first thing that came to my mind, why are you leaving Priscilla Street congregation? They need you. And then you're going thousands of miles. What if this? What if this? What if this? A lot of ifs came into my mind. See, but there are times we too, we are faced with a lot of situations like that. Evil will always come. Because evil, Satan, they didn't want me to know all of you wonderful people. All right, so the lust of the eyes, I've seen a lot since I came to America. This is my first time in America. I like the beautiful buildings. I like the offices, the cars, the jeep, the trucks, and all of that. But I just appreciate them. I do not lust after them. When you begin to say, oh, these eyes, I'm feeding them. Oh, wonderful, I'm going for sightseeing. I don't have money, but I'm going to window shop. And all of you become so obsessed with these things. That means you are loving the world. And with the love of the world cannot be in harmony with the love of the Father. Definitely it won't work. Because the brother has read that the love of the Father is not in him who loveth the world. Brethren, if we have unlawful longing for things that we see, you can lawfully long for something. I long to have a better building. I long to have a better car. I long to have this, but when it becomes unlawful, then it's sin. We can see in Colossians 3, 5 to 7, Ephesians 5 to 7. And also, we must control the lust of our eyes as well. We have all of these scriptures to guide us, especially 1 Timothy 6 to 10. This is beautiful. Let us turn our Bibles there so that we all can endeavor to live in this manner. 1 Timothy 6 to 10. Remember, as I said, I am not discounting the value of money. I'm not saying that you shouldn't go for money. You shouldn't have a source of income to make sure that you raise your family, you provide for them. I'm not saying that. But let's look at what 1 Timothy 6 to 10 says. It says, for the love of money is the root of all evil. Money is not evil in itself, but it's the love, the craving for money. All right? Which, while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves too many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things. Love not the world. Flee these things. As soon as you begin to entertain the temptation, the more, then definitely you will not be able to flee. And follow after righteousness. Righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. And then he said to Timothy, the young preacher, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. Because we are passing this way once. I do not know when I will pass. That will be our topic on Tuesday, which is one of the calls that we definitely must answer. I do not know when, how, whether I may see my kids any longer, but I don't have a death wish for myself. I want to go and be united, but I don't know. I cannot say for sure. Remember, no one is promised tomorrow. Are you promised tomorrow? Are you sure that you'll see tomorrow? It's not possible. Not everybody that is alive tonight will see tomorrow in the world. But we hope that we all will see tomorrow. All right? In Jesus' name. Amen? I'm not saying that we should go now. We know we love the world. But you see, Paul? Paul was there. Paul said, I am now ready to be offered. He said, the time of my departure is at hand. He said, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the righteous judge shall give to me on that day. He was so happy to depart this world. But how many of us, I remember the last time a brother was sick in the hospital. So the elders went there to pray for him. So my fellow elder was standing and for some reason we assess his condition. We know that it is only by the grace of God that he will go through, but he did not live through anyway. He died, all right? But whilst we were admonishing him, I told the brother, I said, let us pray. So I said, brother, lead us in the prayer. So the brother started praying for this sick brother. He said, Lord, we thank you for his life. We thank you. He said a lot. But then, when closing the prayer, he said, well, Lord, we pray that your will be done in his life. If he is to join us, Father God, we pray that he joins us, but let thy will be done. Right there, then the brother who was sick, he said, no, I don't like the way he prayed. You should have said, God should heal me, not whether his will should be done so that I can die. You know, but I want to believe that we all will have to go someday. If we are in the position, we have health, let us make sure that we do things that are not of this world. We should control the world. The pride of life. I don't know, on Monday tomorrow, definitely will dispense of pride. You will know that you need not to be proud because of the life that you enjoy. The pride of life, we must look into it. Boasting. I love my old sister. She came to me. She said, I'm 94. Where is she? Is she still here? Yeah. I'm 94. I'll soon be 95. And all that we talked and all. She was not boasting. She was boasting of the brethren. She said, these are wonderful people. They do this for me. They do this. I said, well, those are your folks. All right, so we talked and then I don't think she was boasting that, look at all the people who have not reached my age. I am now 94. No. Pride of life, your age, your wealth, your accomplishments, all of these, we have to watch them. Because at the end of time, these may not count. They are only tools for you to be better prepared for tomorrow. But to say, I have accomplished this and all that. Remember in Luke 12, 16 to 21? There was a parable there. What was that parable? Luke 12, there was a parable there, right? And Jesus Christ said something about a fellow who had a man who had a large harvest. Not so? Yes.
And he told them a parable.
Yes. Yes.
And he thought to himself, what shall I do? Yes. I have nowhere to store my crops. And he said, I wish to do this. I would tear down my barn. And there I would store my grain and my goods. And I would say to myself, so you have apple goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry. But God said to him, pull this knife, your soul will require, be required of you.
Yeah. Yes. So our wealth or accomplishments, we have to be very, very careful. Because this guy said, oh, God has blessed me. You know what I'll do? I'll break down these smaller bands and build bigger ones and store everything. I say, soul, relax, eat. But what does 1 Timothy 6 and verse 17 say? 1 Timothy 6, 17. It says, charge them that are rich in this world. All right? Somebody read. I don't want to just quote. 1 Timothy 6, 17.
Yes. That they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy.
Amen. Amen. So if you're rich, well, it's relative. You know, among the blind, one-eyed man is king. By American standards, you may not be rich, but if you go down to Sierra Leone, you may be a rich man. But please do not be high-minded. You should ensure that you're with God, because anything, anytime can happen. We must control this as well. So the world is that we should not love. Let us not love our flesh. Let us not love the our eyes. We'd like to feast with our eyes. And then we'll look at ourselves and say, well, we are now proud because we have done this. We should take care of this. We are doing tonight, it's just a quick one, that we should make sure that immorality, materialism, accomplishment are not part of us as Christians. They shouldn't be part of us. You know, I know somebody, you know, who visited us from the U.S. He said, Brother Christian, I've been a millionaire by what? United States standards. He said, well, somebody duped me of $60 million. I said, wow. He said, well, that was what led me to start preaching the gospel. I don't know whether you know that person, but I'm not going to make mention of his name. He started preaching the word of God because he had been duped. I want to believe that when he had the money, he was not too worried until. So I said, well, probably that's your Damascus. That's your road to Damascus. All right, so you have seen the light, so let's walk. So that's exactly what we do and say to one another when we feel that the world is too much close to us. So we cannot love the world. We cannot love the world and the Father at the same time. It's quite impossible. No man can serve two masters. If we love the world, we make ourselves an enemy of God, according to John 4 and verse 4. And let us not rely on this world, because it is passing away. The world and everything in it will pass away. 2 Peter 3 and verse 10, the Bible says, 2 Peter 3 and verse 10, the Bible says, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. As a thief in the night will simply mean that the time we do not expect. I don't know whether in America when thieves are coming, they inform you. Do they inform you that they're coming tonight? No, thieves do not inform. So it's going to be what? A day that you were not expecting. Say then what? Verse 10 says, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements, everything, this beautiful chandelier, this beautiful stage, this beautiful, all of these things shall melt with fervent heat. So if you have your diamonds, I'm happy for you. But surely they will be, all will melt. If you have your limousine, I'm happy for you, but someday at that trump, it will melt. If you have a house, a mansion, like that of Michael Jackson, I am happy for your family, but someday it will melt. And the works therein shall be burnt up. You know, I know how fire devastates. It turns things, solid things, into ashes. So a lot of things that we now see and hold close to our chest, we so dearly love, based on these and what, we're making ourselves enemy of God, they all will pass. And we too, we are passing away. We sing the song, "This world is not our home. I'm just passing through." And I want to believe that we know people have passed in our families. So it doesn't mean that we won't have to pass. So we should not love the world too much. The world is passing away. But the Bible says, those who do God's will, and I'm happy that we are all striving to do God's will for abide forever, and there ours will be the kingdom of heaven. Because Matthew 7 and verse 21 says, "Not all that said unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." So those who do God's will shall abide forever, and theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Even if we do not love the world, our death will be a blessing. Most people, I don't know, do you have vigils here? Wakekeeping? When somebody dies, you have vigils or wakekeeping? The night before you bury the person, before the funeral? You have it sometimes. Well, most people can cry a lot during those times because that person had been probably his or her support. All right? But to us, Christians, in Psalms 106, I think, he said, "Blessed to the Lord, in his eyes the death of the righteous." In other words, in Revelation 14 and verse 13, even when we change time for eternity, the Bible says, John was on the island of Patmos, and then he said, "And I heard a voice from heaven unto saying, Write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. Here henceforth they shall rest from their labors, and their good works shall follow them." You know, brethren, I hope this week will help us greatly. We are going to go through all of what will be required. I don't want to preempt my lessons, but surely we ought not to love this world and embrace this world. Nothing in this world, though flashy, I'm not saying that would not need them. But I don't did well this few days I've been with him. He had been taking me around with his car, going places and all that, Brother Steve as well. I think I have a little truck back there, home and all that. They're all essential. But they should not own me. Do you know that people, properties own them? The other day, me and myself and the kids were going to service. It was around 9. As soon as we left our street, the car broke down. So I thought it was just, those cars that you have used for 20, 30 years, that's the time they get there. They are new in Sierra Leone. So as soon as we begin to use them, we have a lot of problems. So we're there until 9:30, and I should be teaching Bible class. And it was right in the middle of the road. The police are all there, all of that. So I said, okay. I said, the next taxi that is coming, we are going. Close all the glasses up and all the windows up. And then right there, I left it. When I went to the building, they said, "Oh, but asking, where is your car?" I said, "It's in the middle of Kiski Road." They said, "What happened?" I said, "Oh, you shouldn't have left it there. What would happen?" I said, "There are some people, if they have a breakdown, they don't come to church. They stand by the car until it's fixed. If the child is sick, they say, well, let me sit down home. If something, everything becomes secondary because they so love The world and things of the world, as if that they are doing things on their own, not knowing that God is the overriding hand over our businesses. Everything we do, God is actually having his hand in our business. So by the time I got back after Bible class, after worship, you know what I met? Where I met my car? I met my car in my garage. Somebody had fixed it up. And then, so what if I'd stayed there? I wouldn't have fixed it up and I would have missed. When my late dad died, it was quite interesting. You know, back home when somebody loses a relative, they don't go to church. That's our custom. So with us, the Sunday, my late dad, he was a brother as well. We went to church. Everybody was confused. You have somebody in the mortuary. You have a Jacob? No. Not that we do not feel the grief of the loss. But he has lived, he had died a blessed, the blessed death. He was baptized, he served God until what? He's gone. It's for me, Mary, and the children now to actually emulate his example. And that's what we're doing. So we are here tonight. It's been a wonderful time again. And we hope that throughout this week, we're going to have lessons that will help us live as pilgrims, as strangers in this world, not a permanent base that we have here. If we have that, then we'll not love the world. We'll not love the world as we do. So tonight, as you go home, when you pray as a family, remind yourselves that we should not love the world. For if you love the world, you get the old world, what will it profit you? What does Matthew 16 verse 26 say? Nothing. What shall it profit you? If you gain the whole world, and in gaining the whole world, you must have erred. You must have missed the mark. You must have transgressed God's law. And then your soul, you will lose your soul. May the good Lord help us by defeating us in things that are wrong. Let's pray fervently that God will defeat us in any thoughts, any actions that we know are wrong in what? In loving the world. And let him prosper us. Let him encourage us in things that are right in loving him. So that by the time we change time for eternity, we all shall be in heaven. And we shall be praising him on and on eternally. Amen. God bless you. Have a good and godly night. Amen. Who is the song leader? What? I'm cool. Oh, you don't want me to stop? Come.